Hello, my name is Kennedy Sam, and welcome to this week's edition of Conversations with Creative Waco. We are a fourth Friday feature on KWBU, and on months like this one, a fifth Friday feature too. Keep listening for conversations with creatives and community leaders making an impact in our artistic and cultural sector. On today's episode, we'll be catching up with Creative Waco. Our executive director, Fiona Bond, is here to share a few updates on projects and programs that we've had an opportunity to partner with. Later on, we'll be joined by Susie L. Nagar, who will introduce us to the theater company Wild Imaginings and share about their new contemporary play series. We also have this week's segment of David and Art with David Smith. First, we are welcoming Fiona Bond to our table. Hey, Fiona, how are you doing?
Hey, it's always great to be here with our good friends at KWBU.
Right. I feel like it's been a minute since we've sat down as the Creative Waco team, so we're glad to have you here today.
Thank you. Yes, we've been doing a lot. It has been a busy quarter.
For sure.
We have real live events and real live people getting together again.
Let's kind of do a little recap. So back in May, we were really, really heavily promoting the Waco Town Chalk and Walk, which happened Mother's Day weekend, Baylor graduation weekend, and before the torrential rainstorm, which was all of the month of May.
We were so lucky in retrospect that we had a dry-ish weekend,
right.
Certainly dry enough to run the event.
Yeah.
We had 12,000 people come out for that event. Over 50 artists created artwork, and over 100 vendors were selling there. It was just spectacular. Most vendors told me that they met their sales targets by lunchtime on the first day.
Yeah, so that was a big surprise for everybody. So we were really, really blown away by just the support and just the sheer number of people who were so eager to try something new.
And it was a real signal that people were so eager to get back into real, real experiences. And ever since then, it's been going and blowing.
Yeah.
There was one weekend where there were three new theater launches. And we've had a ton of stuff in the performing arts that has just been flourishing since May, since essentially reopening.
Summer is just the perfect time for this kind of stuff. It's like people are, when the weather's working with us, people are excited to get out and see each other, and the arts are such a great way to connect and do that. So let's talk about a couple current things that are in the works and in the pipeline. So we recently announced within the last month that the National Endowment for the Arts gave us a grant along with the City of Waco to start the Public Art Master Plan project. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, the public art master planning process is going to allow us to have a conversation as a community and think about what our priorities and values are when we think about public art. Where do we want to see it? What kinds of art do we want to see? How do we want to generate funds for it? You know, all the conversations that will allow us to really figure out what does our community love? There have been a number of really iconic public art projects over the last few years. We've seen the Waco Sculpture Zoo, the Doris Miller Memorial. Now there's a lot of interest and activity around that. And we want to make sure that as a community, we're getting it right. This is the stuff that outlasts us. This will live beyond any of our lifetimes. It's really important that as we're thinking about what love letter we're writing to future generations, that we are very thoughtful about what is included, who is included in that process, and how we do this, how we cultivate a really good infrastructure for making sure that the public art that we see in our community genuinely reflects this community at this time.
And so Waco has had the trajectory as we've grown. We've also developed as an arts community. How does a public art master plan kind of put us in line with other communities that have, you know, bigger and more developed and mature arts sectors?
It goes hand in hand with kind of thoughtful consideration of how you do both private and public funding of public art, so that some of these conversations get built into conversations with the planning department, with street and road projects, with the kinds of infrastructural development that we're seeing in Waco right now. You know, this is the kind of thing that any city that you go to and you think, wow, they've got some really cool stuff here, has thought about in a really intentional way. This stuff does not just happen by accident. So this kind of puts us on that trajectory where we can think about the kind of development we're doing right now in Waco and how we want to make sure that the way that places look and feel and how they commemorate the past, honor the present, and aspire to the future look and feel.
And then when you mention our community, we don't just mean the Waco Downtown Cultural District, where there is a lot of these artworks and sculptures and other types of public art. We mean, you know, across.
Right across our community, yes. neighborhood art is something that you see in a lot of cities that really defines the character and the vibrancy of individual neighborhoods. So it'd be lovely to start thinking about things like that for our community.
So for people who are trying to see what's next and like how they can get involved, can you talk a little bit about, you know, what this process entails and how the community can share what they feel?
Yes, there is a sign up online, which we'll put on the blog post with this. So on the Creative Waco website, there is a sign up if you're interested in participating in these conversations. There will also be many opportunities to be part of public consultation, either online or in person. So we'll be conducting a number of things through the TRIB, hopefully through KWBU as well, and putting out multiple invitations for people to become part of this process, part of the conversation.
And even though this grant was just recently announced, what is the kind of estimated timeline of this whole kind of project? And how long does it take to put together a whole master plan?
Well, first we have to recruit a consultant. And so we're just in the stage of putting together the RFP for that and going through that recruitment process. Then after that, it will take about a year usually to conduct this kind of an exercise.
We mentioned, you know, the arts have been a great way to kind of get people together, but there's also a sense of like revitalization that we've seen now that people are doing things and moving around, and there are venues and things that are still struggling a little bit and still kind of trying to bounce back from the year we had last year. Can you talk a little bit about another city partnership that we have?
Yes, absolutely.
Kind of help out?
Yeah, we are so grateful to our city. They heard us when we described some of the issues, particularly for arts-based social enterprise organizations, not nonprofits and not kind of straightforward businesses, but the ones that fulfill a really important social function and kind of have fallen through some of the cracks of emergency and relief funding that was available for COVID. And so we were just granted $50,000 that we can distribute to arts-based social enterprise organizations in our community. We're hoping that's just the start, because there are a number, particularly of our performing arts organizations, both nonprofits and for-profits across our community, that have really struggled because, of course, they lost revenue, but they often, especially if they had a venue, they were still having to pay venue costs and tax and rent and, you know, all kinds of outgoings that didn't get relieved during the pandemic. And so we're really hoping that some of the American Rescue Plan funds in our community can go towards making sure that our entire arts and cultural sector starts out not being financially underwater, so that we at least start from a point where people are able to go forward with their programming without fear of being in debt. We have lots of ideas going forward, but, you know, one of the other things that we really want to make sure is that as Delta variant of COVID becomes more and more of a concern and becomes more of an issue locally, that we have a community that is vaccinated to a degree that is going to protect being able to maintain in-person performances and experiences. So we've got a small grant from the state, which allows us to invite artists and creatives to become vaccine ambassadors across our community and to come up with cool ideas. We actually are about to start a series of pop-up events using the 7th Street Plaza that City Center Waco developed. And Waco Civic Theater is going to do a series of Thursday evening pop-up performances where our county health district will be present with a vaccine van. They will actually be able to give people vaccines if they haven't had one at these arts events. So that's tremendously encouraging, because often the factors that prevent someone having a vaccine are more practical than you would think, especially for people who are holding down multiple jobs, trying to get back on their feet after COVID. We really want to make sure that we're trying to achieve as high a level as possible of vaccination across our community.
For sure. I know last year when we were still in lockdown and kind of coming out of all of that, we said that the arts would be a great way to reconnect, and it is, but we also have to be aware that, you know, we're still in a pandemic and things are changing by the month. So it's really important to have these kind of partnerships locally and to just, you know, be as safe as you can and think of others.
Absolutely. Even at a national level, we're seeing Wall Street is reflecting the nervousness about what would happen if we went into another lockdown. We really want to do everything locally that we possibly can to make sure that doesn't happen.
Do you have the dates on those, when the 7th Street is
starting? They start. They will be every Thursday through the end of August.
And if you didn't hear our show last Friday, we sat down with Wendy, Greg, and Michael Carpenter with Downtown Waco and the PID, and Eric Shepard with the Waco Civic Theater. So we suggest you do listen to that again, too. But, you know, a couple other cool things that we have coming up. Our apprenticeship is coming back. It's 2021, and we're here for our new program.
So, yes, we are inviting artists to give us design concepts. We are partnering with our good friends at the Dr. Pepper Museum. If you have some fizzing and popping artistic or design ideas, we want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. So that program starts in the fall.
Yes.
Yeah. So
really soon.
We are super excited to have our apprenticeship back, and
got a fun fundraiser coming up for that too.
I cannot wait.
So too cool for school.
For sure. We will definitely have to have Stephanie and the team back on the show to talk a little bit more about that. But then in October, you thought summer was busy.
October, some
fall
multiple things every single week. Of course, we have a return to the Cultural Arts Fest, which we're just thrilled about. And Doreen is working with partners in the community to do a really awesome project, which will commemorate people who passed away during COVID. I'll be more on that coming up really soon. Mm-hmm. There's also Magnolia is launching a load of live performances, and I know that Celebration will be that month as well. So there's lots to look out for there. They are engaging local artists in their programming, which we're delighted to see. Mm-hmm. And then right at the end of the month is a brand new event, Dia de los Muertos Parade and Festival. That's a partnership between ourselves, the Hispanic Chamber, several entrepreneurs and businesses from the Hispanic community. And it will be just beautiful. Let's hope the weather is good for that. But it's going to be a really fun walking parade, very human scale, and should be a really fantastic new cultural event.
Well, I'm super excited to hear more about these. And it sounds like we have our guests lined up for the rest of it.
There's a lot going on. It's great.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
If you'd like to check out the awesome chalk murals created by the artists from the Waco Town Chalk and Walk, you can find them all displayed on our website at creativewaco.org/WacoTownChalkandWalk2021. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Creative Waco to stay up to date on local happenings. You're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco, and I'm your host, Kennedy Sam. Here's David Smith with this week's edition of David and Art.
As cities reopen, public art can be the symbol of a fresh civic energy. With this week's edition of David and Art, here's David Smith.
Emerging from the solemnity of a global pandemic gives cities of any size a chance to reevaluate what makes our public life vibrant. As civic life begins to return, we have the chance to encounter its elements with fresh eyes. Public art can be a joyous expression of this new day. I don't know of any one civic element more so than that can embody a sense of reawakening and renewal. One of the most impressive pieces of public art I know is a remarkable bronze sculpture in my hometown of Irving called Mustangs at Las Colinas. It portrays 9 larger-than-life mustangs splashing across a creek and was unveiled in 1984. It immediately became one of the symbols of the city, which at that point had nothing whatsoever like it. I had never heard the phrase public art before, but I knew that this was a special place. Other examples of similar art, however, like murals, didn't follow in the Mustang's hoofprints. Somehow the sculpture created no broader artistic energy. Today, social media is transforming the way we interact with public art, making it much more familiar and vastly expanding its reach. Doing a quick search on Twitter and Instagram for the hashtag #PublicArt brings up photographs of striking works in cities all over the country, from San Francisco to Omaha to Virginia Beach. When I looked just now, I found hundreds of photographs of the Mustangs. Earlier this summer down in Houston, a group of artists painted more than 20 murals around the city as part of something called the Big Walls, Big Dreams Mural Festival. It was a public art initiative that sought to beautify the city while providing new inspiration and optimism to residents and visitors as we cautiously emerge from our quarantines. At the end of this month, in the city of Redmond, Oregon, a new public ordinance goes into effect that will allow murals on the exterior of commercial buildings for the first time in nearly 70 years. Having a vibrant painting compared to a gray wall, said the head of the city's Arts Commission, is a win-win for everybody. The nicest recent addition to Waco's public art collection has been the line of wonderful and creative animal sculptures through Cameron Park along the river. But in the coming year, the city could decide to embrace an even more active program of public art. There's much about the city that's booming, but there are still lots of blank walls for murals, and tackling those would make downtown even more vivid. The coming year, year one after the pandemic, is a great time to make public art an even bigger part of our civic energy.
Welcome back. You are listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Kennedy Sam. We are back and sitting down with Susie El-Nagar to introduce us to Wild Imaginings Performing Arts Company. Susie, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you found your love for the arts?
Well, I come from an arts family, so it was from an early age. But I came to theater and performing arts actually through the literature side and through community organizations. So that's how my involvement started.
And how long have you been involved with arts in the Waco community?
Well, I've been involved with the nonprofit area for 5 or 6 years. And so there's been intersection with arts there and about strictly with arts for about the last year.
And so when did you join the team with the Wild Imaginings?
So I came on with Wild Imaginings this summer as part of our Epiphany's New Works Festival, which is playwrights from all around the country submitting their new plays.
We had an episode about that. Can you share a little bit more about how that kind of went?
Yeah, so we just completed the semifinalist round, and so we'll be selecting the finalist, which will have stage readings here in Waco. So Wacoans will have the opportunity to see brand new plays.
Are you guys performing them or just reading them?
So there'll be stage readings, which means script in hands for the actors. And then the winner from last year's festival will have a full production this fall.
Nice. So what is your role within the company?
So I'm a dramaturg, which means that I help with script reading, audience-facing materials, and also I work with the playwrights one-on-one on their works.
So as someone who works with script reading, are you also like a writer yourself, or are you just kind of like an editor behind the scenes?
So I don't edit any of the playwrights' work. I just kind of open an opportunity for them to discover the story that they're telling. I do write myself both creatively and academically.
Awesome. So are you involved with Baylor at all?
Yes. Oh, cool. I'm getting my master's in theater history at the moment.
Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about how this new series came to be and just introduce it a little bit?
So when Trent Sutton started Wild Imaginings, and we had worked previously together at a nonprofit, his first two performances that he put on were these staged readings of contemporary plays, and then the pandemic really put a stop to that. So when this year, at the beginning of this year, in a board meeting, they really wanted to bring that idea back. And we're really thankful that the Cooper Foundation partnered with us to make that possible. So that's kind of been the idea from the start, which is to bring theater and performance that engages the community on important issues that they can talk about and interact with.
That's awesome. So the upcoming show is titled Admissions. Can you talk a little bit about the playwright who wrote it and kind of the theme of it? And since you said these are about, you know, current topics that, you know, you want people to discuss.
So this one was written by Joshua Harmon, who has written a few plays. And the theme of this play is higher education. It centers around a family where the mom is an admissions and inclusion officer at a prep school. And her son is preparing to go to college, and her son does not get accepted into an Ivy League college. But his friend, who is Black, does. And it forces their family to really examine what it means to identity, higher education, and how those things intersect. But it's also a satirical take. So yeah. We should be able to have fun with it.
Yeah, so how many people do you guys have on the cast for this one?
So this is a cast of 5. This one is fully cast at the moment, and they're in rehearsal. But we are casting for the future shows in September forward. So we would love actors that are interested in getting involved with those to fill out our interest forms that we have posted on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah. Are there varying amounts of people who are in different plays based off of...
Yeah, so our February play is a two-person play, and it will also be an all-Black cast. So we really like community members from all identities and walks of life to respond to our interest forms, because we are trying to select plays that reflect the whole of Waco.
Yeah, and so how many plays are in this series?
So it's a 12-month series. So starting in August, there'll be a play the first Tuesday of each month at Rogue Media at 7 p.m.
So this is a new partnership between you guys and Rogue Media. How has it been kind of being in that space?
Oh, they're so wonderful. So the partnership with them started through our podcast. So as part of Performing Arts, we are in the digital space as well. And they've just really been welcoming and inviting in for us to give us a space to do these contemporary plays.
Mm-hmm. And I know you mentioned earlier that the Cooper Foundation is also a sponsor and partner with this series. Are they partners for just like one plays, or is it for the whole series?
Yes, they've partnered with us for the whole series and really have enabled us to do a full season of these plays. Mm-hmm. So we're very thankful for their involvement.
Can you talk a little bit more about what else you guys have lined up? I know you mentioned every Tuesday the first Tuesday of every month. So that's a big task.
Yes. So that's just the Waco Contemporary Play Series. As well, for the new Epiphany's New Work Festival, there'll be four stage readings of brand new plays.
Wow.
And one full production. We'll have a Christmas production. We're going to be involved with some devised work another local theater maker is putting on. So you really need to watch our social media, because we're going to be doing a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are super busy for this upcoming year. How long does it take to kind of put one of the plays together, since you guys have such a crazy schedule coming up?
So the beauty of a stage reading is it scripts in hands for the actors. So we're doing about four rehearsals before, and it is not production design and very minimal costuming. Mm-hmm. And so that really enables us to interact with the words and the themes without the time consuming of building a set or finding costuming.
How does kind of the process kind of vary when you're doing those kind of versus these contemporary play series?
We first are seeking people that are interested in being in these plays, maybe are people that are not featured in other companies around town. And we just go through a process of either auditions. So something like Shakespeare in the Park is an audition because it's a full production. Mm-hmm. The stage readings, we look for people and try to cast them. So that's the place people can start if they want to be involved in performance, is filling out those interest forms or getting in contact with us. If someone is a behind the scenes creative, we'd also love their involvement. As I said, we are doing full productions as well. So people that are into production design and costuming, we'd love to have you partner with us.
So for people who are interested but haven't had that experience yet, is this an opportunity for them to get involved with you guys?
Yeah, it can be. So the first thing is to reach out and kind of say what you're interested, what your experience is. Some of the people that work with us have a large 10 years plus background in theater. So they can partner with someone that is less experienced. And there's other roles where we would appreciate someone with some experience. So it just kind of depends mm-hmm. on what the role is.
And so can you talk a little bit about kind of the mission of Wild Imaginings? Because I know you guys' tagline is like where creativity reigns. So can you tell a little bit about like what that means and how you guys bring it to life?
So Trent came up with this idea that he wanted Wild Imaginings to be a performing arts nonprofit that really didn't have boundaries. So we're not limited by just doing Shakespeare or just doing children's productions, but we're really willing to explore any of those avenues, and also with artists doing their own works. For instance, Andy's Puppet Party is something that is written and performed by local creatives. And so we want this avenue for people that are interested in performance arts, whether it's music, podcasts, theater, and they want a place to do that.
Yeah. I know you mentioned earlier that you guys got involved with Rogue Media through your podcast. Which podcast is this?
So we did a podcast with Ashley from Act Locally that was about Tales from Waco, and that was really fun. This week, Trent, the artistic director at Wild Imagining, is doing a podcast camp for youth and teens, and that will be something I think he wants to bring back in the future. And you should watch the space, because he's going to be bringing a few more podcasts in.
Awesome. So how many people do you guys have on your team? So you guys have a lot of different, your hands in a lot of different pots.
Yeah. So there's the board of directors, of course, that help with a lot of the behind the scenes and guidance. And then we have a creative team right now, which is about 4 to 5 people. And some of that rotates out. For instance, I work with mainly the adult theater productions. Some people work with the children's camps. So it kind of varies, and that's the beauty of it, is people can get plugged into the type of project that they're interested in.
And I know you mentioned you guys have summer camps, but the plays are mostly with adults upcoming?
Yes. Yeah, so the contemporary play series will probably be appropriate for mature teens and adults, because they'll have themes and questions that invite conversation, but some of those might be mature themes. For October, we'll do Gruesome Playground Injuries by Rajiv Joseph, and also raise awareness for Domestic Awareness Month.
So do you guys have a process for choosing kind of what topics are covered in correlation with like the month that's happening, or is it kind of just what you see and you think it'll be really cool?
No, we do have a process. So our creative team sat down, looked at the calendar. We looked at certain months where we would definitely, for February, we definitely wanted to focus on Black History Month. Other months were more flexible. As I mentioned, October was Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And so then we knew that we wanted something to intersect for that. For example, October, the play does not feature domestic violence because we wanted to be aware of something that could be triggering. But we feel like the themes intersect, and we're going to invite conversation afterwards and hopefully be partnering with other community organizations that those areas are their specialty.
Do you guys, since you kind of know what's coming up, do you have a play that is special to you or the one that you're super looking forward to?
Yes. So there is a play called Mother Road by Octavio Solis. And this play is brand new. First performance was 2019. It is a modern sequel to The Grapes of Wrath. And it's a journey across America from people of diverse walks of life. And I think this is going to be a really cool thing to bring to the community.
Yeah. So when you guys go and kind of decide what kind of plays that you guys want to put on, what's the process to kind of get approval or kind of get past kind of the ownership part and copywriting?
Yeah. So we pay for rights for the works that we're doing. We secure those rights before we do the performance. That's an important part of us in honoring artistic talent. So that is a process that we do. So we select them, we look, we find the publisher or where those rights are held.
And so you said this one, the first one, admissions, starts the first Tuesday in August. So I think that's August 3rd. When do tickets go on sale? How do people purchase them?
It actually is going to be free to the public. Thankful to the Cooper Foundation and Rogue Media for their partnership. We will have that process for getting those tickets both at Rogue Media and on the website. So look at that, because we do want to, with the pandemic, make sure that we're honoring any capacity rules. But it is free to the public, so we would love.
That is awesome. Yeah. Every show is free?
Yes, every show in this series is free.
And will they only be showing that one Tuesday? There will be no replays or no encores?
No encores. And so actually in the process of picking these plays, there were some that were like, oh, we just have to have more than one production. So we've saved a few of them for future full productions.
Nice. All right. So it's, I guess it's like Marvel. So just stay tuned to find out the little extra bits that are coming back. Work it in real quick. Thank you so much, Susie, for telling us about the upcoming show Admissions. And so we're so looking forward to this new series.
Thank you so much for having me.
Admissions, the first play in Wild Imagining's contemporary play series, will be held August 3rd at 7 p.m. at Rogue Media Studios. Connect with them on social media at Wild Imaginings Waco for more details on upcoming shows and how to apply as an actor. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org. You can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for content related to this episode. Catch us on the next episode on Friday, August 27th for more deep dives into local arts and culture. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Kennedy Sam. Thanks for tuning in.